In this week's episode, Kate Perry and Ashley Smokler discuss benefits in kind and the P11Ds, primarily in respect of limited companies. They cover the reporting requirements of these benefits, together with an overview of other staff benefits. Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Accountancy on Prescription. Today I'm joined by Ashley Smokler from our tax department. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, Kate.
And today we're going to talk about what we call benefits in kind and P11Ds. So we are going to explain what those are, and we will be talking about them really within the context of small limited companies. But Ashley will go on to explain that this does cover other businesses as well. So, Ashley, benefits in kind, what do we mean by that?
Effectively, benefits in kind are payments that are made on behalf of a director or a member of his family by his own limited company. But generally, we're talking about an employer-employee type relationship. So it doesn't have to be a limited company. It could just be a small partnership. But whatever, even if it's a self-employed individual, where a payment is made on behalf of the individual that is not to do with the business itself, that would fall under the benefits in kind regime.
And of course, what we need to remember within owner-managed businesses is that directors are by their very nature employees of the company, because a company is a separate legal entity, separate from the director, and the relationship of a director within the company is that of an employee. So in this case, we're generally probably going to be talking about the directors of their own small companies.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so that's a benefit. So what sort of things would we generally class as benefits in kind, for instance?
Well, as I said, so it's effectively anything that's paid on behalf of the individual by the company or the employer, or where something is provided to the employee by the employer. So the provision of a company car, for instance, is the main benefit in kind that we come across within our profession. Cars that are provided for private use by the company. So the company pays for the car, the company pays for insurance, anything that is a cost of having that company car, and then the employee is taxed on a benefit in kind, which is calculated via a calculation from the revenue, which is based on the original list price of the car on the day before it was brand new. So it's quite a complicated calculation. But once we know what the original list price was, the benefit in kind is calculated via a percentage dependent on whether it's an electric car, whether it's a normal car or a diesel car.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And cars now more within limited companies now, because the benefits, I think we probably both remember, you and I, when we used to say in owner-managed companies, never get the company to pay for your car. But of course, that's all changed now with the introduction of electric cars. So are you able to describe why it's so much more of a benefit now than it was in the old days?
So in the old days, we talk about the old days, we're probably only talking about 20 odd years ago, but the benefit in kind was based on a different calculation. Nowadays, with electric cars, which have a very low, if anything, CO2 emission, the benefit in kind is calculated on almost, I think it's 2% per annum at the moment, which I think is still in place for another couple of years, if not just maybe next year.
So that's 2% of the value of the car. So effectively, we calculate that number, and that number is effectively converted, if you like, to cash, and that's the figure that's taxed on the employee.
Yeah, and with an electric car, obviously, a number of electric cars that we come across are very expensive to buy. The company buys the car, and as long as certain criteria are met, the company is able to claim 100% capital allowances in the first year, so in the year that the car is bought. For instance, we're talking about a car that is worth £80,000. The company gets £80,000 worth of corporation tax relief. And then the individual is taxed on, for instance, 2% of £80,000, which is not an awful lot of money for having the provision of a car, for having all expenses paid. We're talking petrol, insurance, anything that you spend for that company car in the course of the year.
Of course, actually, we're not talking petrol in this case. We're talking electricity.
We are talking about electricity. Sorry, yes.
So something like one of these four-wheel drive Teslas or something would probably be in that category of car, I think. Not that I'm an expert on electric cars. I don't have one myself as yet. I know hybrids are quite popular now, but the benefits are really not the same. So the greatest benefit is if the car is 100%
wholly 100% electric. Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're talking wholly about cars at the moment, but there are other benefits in kind that you need to think about, which what we've tended to find is that company directors will suddenly tell us when we're doing their tax returns that they've had a benefit in kind. They don't even know it's a benefit in kind, but they will tell us that it's a payment that's been made on behalf of them by the company. And it's then that the question of benefits raises its head. Now, I'm looking at things like medical insurance, dental cover, loan agreements between the company and the individual. For instance, you can't just take money out of the company and say that you're taking money out of the company and then pay it back and then it's the end of the story. But all these things are treated as benefits in kind, which all need to be reported to HMRC.
That's right. Well, what I ought to add to that is you say when you get information to do with their tax return, it's very often that we'll be preparing the limited company accounts. And of course, we can prepare those as long as 9 months or 8 to 9 months after the company's year end. And particularly if the company's year end is much later in the year. So if we've got a company year end of, say, April, we might not be preparing those accounts until sort of October or November. And actually, at that point, that's when we'll pick up a benefit in kind. And of course, what I know you're about to go on to, the reporting requirements, the date for the reporting has then passed. So I think one of the points we want to make in this podcast is that if you are a director of your own company and things of this nature occur, we need to know at the point that the company makes the payment. And before we go on to the reporting requirements, I think what we also need to mention, sort of in relation to the loans that you've just spoken about, it's not so much loans. So there are two types of loan that a limited company can give a director. One is specifically the director, there's money in the company, the director needs a loan for £20,000. They may only want it for 6 months and then they'll pay it back. And ordinarily, you might think, oh, that's not an issue. I'm going to pay it back to the company. I've only had it for 6 months, not an issue. But we will explain what the issue is. But the other time where, if you like, a payment becomes a loan is where the director will make payments, let's say on the credit card, that are actually personal in nature. And in the limited company accounts, we have a director's loan account. So that will go to a director's loan account. And we call it a director's loan account because if those amounts go into a credit position with the company, then the director has effectively taken out a loan. So in their head, they haven't, because all they've done is make a few payments on their behalf. And often if a dividend is awarded, we can clear it. But if that isn't the case, or if the amount at any point in the year goes over £10,000, that then becomes an issue. Are you able to say a little bit more about the loan situation with regard to the limits it goes over and repayments and when we have to report that? That's actually a different reporting regime, though, isn't it? Not the P11D that we're going to go on to talk about. That's another requirement that's required to be declared on their personal tax return. So there are two actual reporting requirements in that particular case, with regard to the loan agreements.
You've touched on the point that any amounts that are paid on behalf of the director, that when you add them up, if they go over £10,000, the requirement is to calculate what is effectively an interest rate based on, I think it's only about 2.5%.
It's quite low. It's surprisingly low, because I had a client who did it recently and he actually exactly had a loan of £10,000. And of course, with everything else, he did tip over. And it's at any point during the year that the director has a loan to the company of over £10,000, it needs to be declared.
Yeah. So there are two ways to work out the beneficial loan. One is the precise method and one is the averaging method. With the precise method, you calculate the interest on a daily basis based on the outstanding amount on each particular day, which is usually, it works out to be, I think, better for you to do it that way. But the revenue's preferred way, obviously, is the averaging method, where you take an opening balance on the 6th of April, closing balance on the 5th of April, add them together, divide by two, and then calculate 2.5% or 2.25% based on that figure. That becomes your benefit in kind, which then needs to be included on your P11D and consequently onto your own tax return.
Right. And what is the situation if you agree with your company, if you like, to pay interest on that loan? Does that make things different?
You effectively work out either in advance or when you do the calculation, you work out what the 2.25% interest figure comes to. And if you build into your loan agreement before the start that you're going to pay an amount back to the company, which is equivalent to the 2.5% or 2.25%, effectively what goes on the P11D, you still report it on the P11D. So you still have to report the benefit, but there's a place to input as well the amount that was made good by the director. And effectively the benefit in kind, which gets taxed on you, is actually zero at the end of the day, because you've paid the amount that's due.
But I think what we need to point out there is that any agreement of that nature has to be made at the point the loan is given. You can't decide retrospectively to work it that way. But to be honest, I think the interest that we put on the P11D is quite low. So I would suggest that it's not, unless you're talking significant amounts of money, probably you wouldn't be too concerned about paying interest in advance like that. Okay, no. So we've mentioned this word P11D. What is the description of a P11D?
Well, a P11D is simply a return of benefits to HMRC. So it's a two-page document which details any benefits that have been received by an individual from his or her employer. P11D is the individual document. It's prepared annually by the company or his or her agent. The submission deadline for a P11D is the 6th of July on an annual basis. And there's an associated form, P11DB, which is an all-encompassing document that if there are, for instance, 10 employees receiving P11D benefits, the benefits are all added up and then one figure gets put onto the P11DB and the company or the employer is required to then make a payment of Class 1A National Insurance, and that is payable by the 19th of July. So the P11Ds, etc., go in by the 6th of July. Payment of the resulting National Insurance liability for the company is payable by the 19th of July.
And then what does the employee have to do?
So first of all, the employer is required by law to give a copy of the P11Ds to the individual by the 6th of July, possibly the 19th of July. And then the individual needs to keep the P11D safe so that when they prepare their tax return, or if they have an agent preparing their tax return, they can provide the P11D copy to them.
Because that's in fact how the tax is paid. It's paid through according to the value on the P11D, as we mentioned before.
Yep, so that gets included on the tax return as part of the employment page, and tax is then worked out together with the remaining tax that's due on the rest of the income.
So I think probably the main takeaway from what we're saying is that if you have a company, or indeed any business where you are offering benefits of any nature, whether car, and we did mention earlier, medical insurance, dental insurance, or anything that the employee themselves, I suppose, could go out and pay for themselves, but you are choosing as the employer to pay for it on their behalf, it's a form of income for the position they hold, and that has to be taxed.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Possibly there's something else to mention as a generalisation here. This podcast is going out towards the end of May. We're going to be preparing P11Ds for clients for the 23/24 tax year in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Now, HMRC have changed their P11D regime. There will soon be no need to prepare P11Ds in the future. From April 2026, everything we've mentioned, all these payments towards cars and medical insurance, et cetera, these will all be payrolled. So everything will be included on a company payroll or an employer payroll. So the last P11D that needs to be prepared is for the 25/6 tax year.
Right. And now you've just reminded me of something else. In order to complete P11Ds, of course, the company has to enrol onto a PAYE scheme with HMRC before any P11Ds can be arranged. And I know a lot of small limited companies, because the director is taking their income as dividends in the main, very often they don't set up the PAYE scheme. So we need to remember that if you're offering benefits, benefits equals you need a PAYE scheme, even if you aren't actually paying out any salaries as such.
Absolutely. And it is something we found with our clients. They have the benefits in kind. When it comes to reporting them, suddenly you're in a situation where you need to tell the revenue something, and without the reference numbers, you can't do so.
No, so quite a bit of time. I think HMRC aren't very quick at setting these sort of things up, so more time is required, remember, before this deadline of 6th of July, to set up the PAYE system to enable you to do the P11D in time. So that makes it even more important that we know about this information in advance. And you were talking, Ashley, you said there's no such thing as a free lunch. I'd probably perhaps beg to differ a little there, because, of course, we have now got something called a trivial benefit. And that is where you can offer a member of staff something up to the value of £50 for a specific reason. And I think we can perhaps think of some examples, such as a birthday. So before we end this podcast, can you tell us a bit more about the trivial benefits?
Well, as you say, the trivial benefits regime, if you like, is anything up to £50. Now, that's not to say that you can give somebody £49 every day for the 365 days in the year. But you're talking about small payments, as you say, you know, a bunch of flowers on a birthday or something along those lines, or a gift.
Something for Christmas.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely. But as you've mentioned that word, let me just say that for Christmas and basically any other function within a year, so where an employer is able to provide, let's say, a Christmas do, for want of a better expression, there is an annual cost that does not need to be reported on a P11D, and it's £150 a head. So if you have a small limited company, if you happen to be, let's say, a husband and wife limited company where just the two of you are on the payroll, you could go out for a slap-up meal towards Christmas, ideally, at a cost of £300 the company pays, and it doesn't need to be shown on a P11D. Going back, trivial benefits are up to £50, which is a different matter. There are things which are more valuable, I guess. They do need to be reported, but only up to certain limits. Now, I'm looking at one thing, which is a relocation expense. So I don't think we're actually in a position here where we're going to look through a P11D and go through each question that gets asked. But relocation, qualifying relocation expenses of up to £8,000 can be paid without any requirement to tell the revenue. So if you're an employer and you send an employee to another part of the country for work and they need to relocate as opposed to just being there overnight, that's a sizable chunk of money, £8,000. and the revenue don't need to know about it.
That's interesting to know, and a surprise perhaps, because you tend to think that HMRC needs to know about most things, and that's quite a significant one. Although I'm not sure how relevant that would necessarily be to some of our clients, but there may be some people who do have actual employees that would be locating for whatever reason. Okay, so I think actually we expanded that, Ashley, didn't we? But a bit beyond what we'd intended to speak about. But we've covered all sorts of benefits, really. But the key message for this podcast is really the P11Ds and the 6th of July deadline. So I think that's probably about it for this podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. And if you did, please like and subscribe. And until next time, thank you.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.